This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
When Andre was doing the prayers, all the requests, and he reading out the prayer requests, just came to me how many people do need a miracle in their lives. Yeah? And there's so many people that, as you heard this morning, are suffering, and they need our prayers. They need, to hear the word of God. And the message that I've got today to share, I have shared it on this before, but the Lord laid it deeply on my heart to share with you today, and that is, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Praise the Lord. And I show you, miracles come in little things. I was at Bruce and Lynn's place the other day, Thursday or something. Anyhow, Lynn's got a watch that she likes very much, but it kept stopping on her all the time. And so Bruce said, well, you buy a new one. She said, no, but I like this one. And so she had it laying on the table. So I picked it up, held it in the air, and I said, Lord, Lynn loves this watch so much, you can do miracles. How about getting this thing going and keep it going? I just looked at Lynn. The watch is still going. Amen. The Lord comes in little things, and he comes in big things. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. And I want to read something out of Isaiah 51 first of all. Isaiah 51, verse 1 to 3. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was one, I called him, then I blessed him and multiplied him. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and her wilderness he will make like Eden, and her desert and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and sound of a melody. God exhorts us to look at him, for he is the rock from which we were cut. Look to him, not to men. Look to him, our God, our Father, who declares that he is going to take good care of us all of our lives. God is forever working on your behalf, on my behalf, to bring us blessings and joy, even when we find ourselves in a wilderness situation. God is there. No matter what you're going through, you're not alone. God is there. He's with you, and he's there to take care of you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He doesn't want to see you walking around depressed. He wants to see you joyful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, you can be joyful in all situations. Even when people muck around with all the things today, you can still muck. You can still be joyful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But anyhow, in wilderness situations, God is there with you. You're not alone. He is there with you. And I'd like us to have a look at Abraham and Sarah. We're talking about miracles today. Abraham and Sarah. Can we turn to Genesis chapter 17? Chapter 18. How about we start in 17? Okay. Here is the Lord speaking to Abraham. And he said, that is Genesis 17, verse 15. And then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. And here comes the crunch thing. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And then Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, no. You try to shortcut. You try to do things man's way. And then he begot Ishmael. And we still got the troubles with all of that to this day. But he said, I will establish my covenant with you and with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Praise God. Then we go over to chapter 18 and verses. Okay, but that's where the Lord came again to Abraham and spoke to him again. And then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord also being old? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Now, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. And by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since he considered him faithful who had oppressed. And I read that one again. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, as many descendants as the stars in the heavens in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now, if you have a look at that, we just read before where Sarah laughed, Abraham laughed. What happened in between? Because in Genesis, they didn't believe. They laughed. They said, this is impossible. Here in Hebrews, we see that Sarah conceived. Now, what happened in between? Well, there is a vast difference, isn't it, in faith levels between the scriptures we have just read in Genesis and the ones that we read in Hebrew. There is a vast difference. At first, when they heard that the miracle was a distinct possibility in their lives, they laughed. And, you know, I'll give a little testimony quickly here myself. I was just born again. And the Lord, I was laying in bed one morning and I woke up and I was laughing. I was laughing. And I was laughing. And then I said, why are you laughing? Because I had a lot of bills hanging on the fritz, and I didn't have a clue how I was going to pay them all. And in the middle of that, the Lord asked me to start tithing. And I said, Lord, you know, me tithing. And then I started laughing even louder. I said, Lord, you look at that, all the bills that are hanging on the fritz. And I said, well, you know, I said, I can't pay them now. How am I going to pay them when I tithe? And I said, but anyhow, you're the boss. Okay, I start tithing. To this day, I haven't got a clue. My wages didn't change. My bank balance didn't change. All the bills got paid, and I've never stopped tithing. So, you know, miracles, God is a miracle working God in so many different ways. Okay. And it's amazing, and of course there's a couple more examples where people hear and they start laughing. How is it that people start laughing before a miracle comes place? Because of unbelief. They just can't believe that God can do things like that. You know, why for me? Maybe to him, but not for me. You know? Hallelujah. Because they laughed. They had God's word. But at this stage, they certainly did not have the faith nor the ability to receive, to grasp, to lay hold of this miracle in their minds. And that's where it is, and it's in your mind. The battle is in your mind. Yes, will the Lord do this? No, will he do it? And there's a real battle going on, and you've got to fight it, and you've got to stay focused. Hallelujah. But in Hebrews, it says that by faith, Sarah received, had the ability to conceive. Faith to lay hold of her miracle. See, at one stage she didn't have any faith. She laughed. Now, all of a sudden, she has received the faith built up in her. What happened? Well, I believe that as Abraham and Sarah started talking about this, started meditating on God's word, faith started to grow in their hearts. And as the faith in God's word grew, they started to believe that, hey, even now, when it seems totally impossible in our own strength, it must be possible because God said. God has spoken. And in their imagination, they started seeing a baby son. But, you know, you've got to hang on to God's word. You've got to have God's word. And once you have God's word, you've got to hang on to it. Because the devil will try and come in and lead you this way or that way. But you've got to stay focused on God's word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what happened was, because as their faith grew, so did their ability to receive what God had promised them. It took time. It did not happen overnight. Sarah had to stand in faith to receive. You need divine power. You need divine strength. You need divine ability to help you see God's word. You need divine revelation. Sarah was delivered of a child, a great miracle, when all the odds were stacked against her. Right? When all the odds were stacked against her, and surely the odds were stacked against Abraham and Sarah to receive a child when one was 90, one was 100 years old, and the other one was 90 years old. I mean, there's hope for me yet. But I don't think so. But, you know. Oh, praise God. But Sarah was delivered of a child, a great miracle, when all the odds were stacked against her. We need to take heart from this portion of Scripture and learn from it. We need to cultivate faith and believe that it is never too late to or impossible with God to perform a miracle on your behalf, even when all the odds are stacked against us. We need to believe and hang on when all the odds are stacked against us. For in Luke 1:37 it says that nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And, you know, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. And we look at a few more examples of that. You know, you look at Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was dead for 4 days, right? And Jesus comes on the scene. And what happens? He goes over there to the tomb. He looks at the Father and he says, Father, I want this miracle. You know? And so the Father says, well, speak. So Jesus goes and he says, come forth. Well, he didn't just say it, he shouted it. Come forth, Lazarus. And what happened? A man that's been dead 4 days comes out of his grave. Would you say that's a big miracle? But would you think that a lot of people thought it was too late? Well, they told him so, but he didn't take any notice. He hung on to God's word. And he spoke it, and Lazarus came forth. And then you've got in Matthew, that's a bit hard seeing when you see this thing in front of your nose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Matthew 9, verse 18 to 24, it speaks about the blind man or the official daughter. You know, we'll have a look at it. In Matthew, Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9 and 18:25. Okay, I'll start reading at verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, behold, there came a synagogue official and bowed down before him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay hands on her, and she will live. And Jesus rose and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And when Jesus came into the official's house, we start, that's verse 23, and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, he began to say, depart from the girl has not died, but she is asleep. And they began laughing. Again, a miracle is about to happen, and people start laughing. They find it totally impossible to believe that a miracle can happen. And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been put out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Praise the Lord. But it is amazing how many times people laugh before, just about when a miracle is to happen. They just can't hold on to God's word. Praise the Lord. And then you've got where Matthew, well, I'll yeah, in Matthew, I can't remember the chapter, but you know, where the sight of the blind, where there was a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road, and he'd been blind for a long time. And as Jesus was coming towards him, he got to hear that Jesus was coming, and he started shouting. He got feared income. He really started shouting with all of his might, and people told him to shut up. People just don't want to hear things like that. But he just shouted all the louder. Then in Luke chapter 18, and verse 35 to 43, you had two blind men following Jesus. And what were they doing? They were shouting to get his attention. They got, in both cases, they were told to be quiet. But what did they do instead? They started to cry out all the more. They threw all restraint and all caution to the wind and bellowed as loud as they could, Jesus, here I am. Jesus, help me. In other words, they became fear-dinkum in reaching out to God. The Bible declares that the violent man lays hold of the things in heaven. Not violent, as we understand the word, but strong, desperate people, aggressively zealous people for the things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 5. John chapter 5. I love that one. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we start at verse 1. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticoes. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped into what was made well from whatever. I'll start again. After the stirring of the water, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 30 years in his sickness. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. What about this man? Sick for 38 years. For 38 years, people took him every day to lay at that pool. But the man could never get there in time. 38 years. Now just imagine if that morning he had said, "Don't bother taking me back there. I am never going to get well." He would have missed out on the brink of a miracle coming his way. You see that? 38 years. And yet the miracle was on its way. But 38 years. But had he did that morning, and it's so easy for us to give up, when things do not come quickly enough, fast enough, we tend to give up. But if that man had not gone there that morning, he would have missed out on the brink of a miracle. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And don't worry if you feel you are in a wilderness situation, for many great things happen to people when they are in the so-called wilderness. Mostly it is a time of preparation, a time of testing, a time of drawing closer to God, to look at him for answers, learning to trust him rather than our own resources. Just look at Moses, John the Baptist, Jesus, all times of preparations. Great miracles take place in wilderness situations. Look at Israel. For 40 years they wandered around in the wilderness. They never went hungry. Their clothes never wore out, which is, I've said before, is very hard on the ladies because they like to change their dresses every so often. But, men can wear the same coat and the same thing over and over again. But the ladies don't. But anyhow, I'm sure they didn't care too much about that. And the shoes never wore out. That's another thing, isn't it? But, well, no, I'll get the knot, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 54, chapter 54, 1 to 3, it says, "Start preparing, not despairing. Start getting into a state of expectancy. Start preparing your hearts and minds to receive the blessing of the Lord. Speak positives, not negatives." Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat of its fruit." So if you speak positives, you'll eat positive. Speak negatives, you'll eat negatives. Sarah dared to believe, and she received. And it does not matter if we feel as if we have missed the boat, that we have missed out, that our prayers are not being heard, as surely Sarah must have thought many, 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 many times. But in I just want to read a little verse out of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse 19 to 23. And that says, "Remember my affliction, my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible declares God's mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. And Hebrews 6:11, 18 says, endure to the end, true faith in him who took an oath and swore by himself that God, swore by himself. God is as good as his word. Keep that in mind, that God is as good as his word. And we should be encouraged and comforted by God's promises and his faithfulness. In Hebrews 6:19-20 says, we have an anchor in heavenly places, our Lord Jesus. So when we feel discouraged, disappointed, walking around in the wilderness, when we are sick and in need of a miracle, hold fast to God's word, his promises. Believe and receive. Don't ever give up on the brink of a miracle. When you start waning, when you feel that that nothing is happening, you need to hang on. You need to hang on. You need to develop hanging on faith. That is the faith you need at times like that. Hanging on faith. And I often say white knuckle faith. You hang on because the Lord is true to his word. But so often, just when things are about to happen, we lose. We just lose it and we turn away. And like you've seen with that man, 38 years laying there at the pool. 38 years. And yet on the very last, like on that morning, if he had said, don't bother anymore, I can't take it anymore. Take it, I don't want to know it anymore. He would have missed out on the brink of his miracle. So I just want you to take that to heart, that hang on, hang on. Hang on. Things might seem impossible, but with the Lord, nothing is impossible. And we have seen miracles, but so often, what do I say? You can see people, like miracles in other people, but it's sometimes very, very difficult for yourself. To keep focused yourself. And I can stand up here and not tell you all these good things about, don't ever give up on the brink of a miracle. But that applies to me as well as anybody else. And I know from past experiences that is not easy. But years ago, a year before I got saved, all of a sudden, I said, God, I had a back that was totally, totally kaput. There was nothing left of my back. And I had been to hospitals, and I had been to every chiropractor, to every specialist, and they'd done all sorts of things. My back never got any better. Now, I didn't know the Lord. This was a year before I got saved, but I was laying in bed one day, and I said, God, from now on, I'm not going to any doctor no more. I'll leave it all in your hands. Now, I don't know where it came from because I wasn't saved, but somehow or other, I got that faith because my wife had multiple cirrhosis and she was getting slowly better, a lot better. And something rose up in me, so I said, God, I won't go anymore to any doctor, hospital, whatever. A year later, I got born again. 4 weeks later, a lady prayed for me, and my back was totally, utterly restored in an instant. In an instant. And so, and I know that year, I went to agony, but I stood by the word I said to God, and I hung on, and the miracle did come. So on that happy note, I want to leave it. And I know I'm a bit stumbly today, but I've had a bit of a problem trying to focus the last week or so. And so I pray and I hope that you've got the message today that whatever happens, you don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Amen.
The elders, anyone else would like to lay their hands on Frank if he doesn't want to give up on the brink of a miracle and he's feeling a bit, we should lay our hands on him. So one of you, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Hang on to it and just believe for it. I was reading years ago a book by Richard Toland, which was actually a documentary where he went through all the historical records around Hitler and all that, and Neville Chamberlain's famous visit there. And it turns out that Chamberlain's in his room and Hitler's in his room, both deciding, what are we going to do from this meeting? And it turns out that if Chamberlain had just stayed in his room for 5 minutes longer before capitulating, we wouldn't have had World War II. And you know, things happen when people give up too soon. So hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. It's coming. Be like Sarah, you know. We might have all laughed at the beginning, but I sat there when Frank was singing, and I think, I wonder what she thought when she first realised, I'm pregnant. yeah. Wow, you know. Of course, Abraham couldn't think that, but she could. And I thought, wow, that must have been a whammy. And I believe, you know, there are a lot of folk here been hanging on for a long time. Hang on. It's coming. It's coming. Frank, you want to say something?
When I finished a bit abruptly, but I really feel on my heart to pray. That is anybody here that wants prayer today? For, and I don't care if you stand in for somebody else, but for a miracle to come your way, or if you have a great need in your life, I really want to pray with you and the elders. So if there's anybody here, it's open.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.